Grace to you, and peace from God, our Father, and from Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about hearing God. Actually hearing His words. Wouldn't that be great? Just imagine the God who created the heavens and the earth, that you would actually be able to hear Him speaking to you today, this morning, in this present moment, in every present moment, and for the rest of your life, your whole life long, to have this God speaking in your hearing and you being sure that it's Him whom you hear. I think I just want to ask, is this possible? Is this something that we can have in life? And I'm reminded of Psalm 139, where it says, "We are fearfully and wonderfully made." I think that goes along with our sense of hearing, too. It's a very delicate, amazing thing, the human ear. And I think of all the senses that we have in our bodies, hearing is the one that I think is the most important. You may disagree. Maybe you think sight is. But when I think about which is most important to me, it would be hearing. Because with my wife, she's very pretty. I love to look on her. I love to see her all day long and how pretty she is. But, boy, if I had to choose, seriously, between being blind or being deaf, I'd rather be blind because I love her voice. I love to hear her talk with me. I love to hear her say, "I love you." I love to hear her heart and the communion and the communication that we have with one another, which comes through the sense of hearing. And I think that's, to me, why that's the most important of the senses. And in our faith, can we actually hear God and His voice actually really speaking to us? Well, let's take a look at that today. And we'll start out looking at Luke chapter 8. See what the scriptures teach us about these things. This is a parallel passage with the one we just read in Matthew chapter 13. And here Luke describes it for us. I'll begin in verse 4 of Luke 8. It says, "And when a great crowd came together, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path, and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, and because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" So from this passage alone already, I learned something really fantastic, is that God desires to speak to you and He desires for you to hear Him. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, what does this parable tell us about it? The disciples asked Him what the parable meant. Jesus describes it. And in verse 11, He says, in this parable, now the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. In other words, God indeed does want to speak with you in your hearing, and He wants you to hear Him, because God is the sower. It says the seed is the Word of God. He wants to constantly spread out and scatter these seeds of His Word, speaking to you. The question is, will we hear Him or not? But God spreads His seeds abroad to the whole world, constantly speaking to us that we may know Him. And let's talk about that for a minute, what this is, a seed. Why did Jesus choose a seed to describe this word that God speaks to us? Well, did you think I'd come here today without a seed? Knowing me, of course. I got some seeds here with you. Got some carrots. Let's take a look at a seed here for a moment. Get a couple in my hand. Look at these little things. Can you even see that right there? Tiniest little speck in my hand. Does that look like a carrot to you? That doesn't look like a carrot to me. And in fact, if I had you over to dinner and fed you this for dinner, you'd be going, "Ty, yeah, where's my meal?" That's the amazing thing, though, about seeds, is inside this little tiny speck that looks like dirt is packed the power of God. That is the ability to grow inside this little tiny seed is a design somehow to know how to grow up and eventually produce a whole crop of these. And unless I saw it every day, I'd never believe it. These turn into carrots, or an acorn turn into this huge oak tree we have out in front of us? That's unreal, except we see it happens. And God says his seeds are the same way. Though they look small, though God's word may not strike you as, oh my goodness, God's speaking to me through the preacher, yet don't underestimate it, because these little seeds that I'm speaking, though they may seem small, have a very powerful punch packed into them. Let's read about that. God says through Isaiah in Isaiah 55, "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and return not thither, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that proceed from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Do you realize what power God's words have in them? Even though they may be in the voice of a pitiful little vessel like myself, the words that are coming forth from my mouth today and will come forth concerning the gospel have the power to give you eternal life. Whew. Wow. Little tiny seeds? I wouldn't believe an acorn could become an oak. I wouldn't believe pastor's words could give eternal life and salvation. But if I'm preaching what's in here, you better believe that these little seeds, which are God's word, can accomplish what God has purpose for them to accomplish. That's why it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith." So these words are strong and powerful. And God really does want to speak with you. And he wants you to hear him. Can you imagine that? Really, God, the one who stretched out the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, spread galaxies from his fingers, wants to talk with you, and he wants you to hear him today and your whole life long, all the way till you see him face to face on the great day of the Lord Almighty. So God does speak. He wants us to hear. Next question, though. Where do you go to hear him? Where can you go to hear God speak and be sure it's him? You know, the world has all kinds of different ideas about this. You go out on the street, they're going to come up with all kinds of things. Here's a little list of what they might say. A lot of people would say, "I'm going to go out into the wilderness. That's where I'll hear God speak to me." And I've fallen into some of these, by the way, in my past before I really came to faith. "I'll go hear God speak to me out in the mountains and the streams. That's where God speaks." Is that so? Well, I know of another man who went out into the wilderness with that idea. His name was Muhammad. And he went out to a cave and came back, told his wife, Khadijah, "I think the devil has just spoken to me." And she says, "No, no, no, it's not the devil. It's the angel. It's the angel Gabriel. Go back and listen to him." And hence we get the Quran, which teaches everything contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ and condemns anyone who believes in Jesus Christ as crucified and risen. So the wilderness, not a good place to find God's word. How about solitary places and deserts? Well, people who go out there have found something. They found that they're lost out there. How about monasteries, though? That seems like a holier place to find God's word, right? Maybe if we give up our lives and go into the hallowed halls of some Gothic cathedral, we'll hear him. But what has come out of the monasteries? What did people hear? "Meriting salvation by your works rather than by grace through faith as a free gift in Christ." And so they went there and they heard, again, contrary to the gospel. Some people want an old wise man. You know, I used to want this. You know, the old Yoda from Star Wars. "Oh, you try too hard." You know, "No try." All these kinds of wise words. But when you go and find a wise man, this just popped into my head. I wonder if it's right to say. You'll find a wise guy. A wise guy. A lot of people who look for an old wise man find out he's not wise after all. Others, though, and this is what I fell into early in life, meditations. Trying to, empty yourself, hear God speak to you, or try to hear him in your gut feelings or your conscience or your heart. And then I know of others who, in meditations, would seek to have contact with spirits or spirit guides. If you go to the New Age bookstores, you'll see this all over the place about finding your spirit guides. Are these places to look? No, sorry, Pinocchio. The conscience is not really good guide because it's seared. It's damaged by sin. And it's an inaccurate compass. And in meditations, if you just cleanse your mind out and open it up to be like a swept out house, guess what? There are spirits in the wilderness, in the universe, good and bad, and the evil are only too happy to make a home there when you go into that kind of a meditation. So don't do that. One last place to look for the word, which I think is the most popular in the world, is your heart. You know what I'm saying? Every movie, children's cartoon, to a country songs today, listen to your heart, follow, it'll guide you, all those kinds of things. That is so popular out there, but hear what the Word of God, the Scripture, says about that one. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it?" Doesn't sound like a good place to be looking for God's Word. So all these are places people look. Where do you find God, though, truly speaking to you? I'll tell you. Thank you, Cheryl. There's one place and one place alone. That's where God has told you he's going to be speaking to you. Right here in his written word and in the mouths of those who preach according to what is written in this book. This is where you're going to hear God. You want to actually hear him today? You can have this. The Spirit, the God of the spirits of the universe, the Lord Almighty, will speak through this to you into your very own ears to be heard. For Jesus said this about the Scriptures. Scripture cannot be broken. John chapter 10. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, etc. Inspired, that means God breathed. It came out of his mouth. These are his words to us. And in 2 Peter 1, Peter says, first of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the impulse of man, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. You want to hear God speak? This is the place you look, and in the mouths of those who preach what is written herein. God actually speaks that way, and there's no other way to be saved. You know, you could go out into the wilderness, you're not going to hear a tree say to you, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Okay? It may say, "Give glory to God," or something like that, but you're not going to be saved anywhere else. A rock is not going to speak to you, a tree, or an unbelieving wise man. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, he says this, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are men to call on him of whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can one preach? How can men preach unless they're sent?" So you want to know God's word, you want to hear it? It's in the mouth of a preacher. It's the only way to be saved, is if this word is preached to you. But the world does not like this. The world thinks this is silly. And Luther said it this way, and I'll quote this. "People think," said Luther, "people think if I could hear God speaking in his own person, I would run so fast to hear him that my feet would bleed. If someone said, 'I know of a place in the world where God speaks, and when you arrive there, you hear God himself talking,' and if I'd come there and had seen only a poor preacher baptizing and preaching, that I no doubt would have said, 'Ha! I've taken pains to come here, and I see only this piddly minister. We should like rather to have God speak to us in his majesty, but I advise you don't go there, for he spoke at Mount Sinai, where after all only angels spoke, yet the mountain smoked and trembled. But now you have the word of God in church, in books, in your home, and this is as certainly God's word as if God himself is speaking. And I skip this part. If you were to go to Mount Sinai, then you would see what a running is really about. God speaks to you through people who preach this. God speaks to you through these. And yet we come there and you think, oh, it's just a seed. That's nothing. Do you really believe right now that God is speaking to you right now through me, using my tongue? You know, we had Les here at the earlier service. I asked him, you know, when you perform a concert with your saxophone, do people stand up at the end and applaud your saxophone? No. They applaud the one who played the saxophone. And in the same way, I'm just an instrument for God. He's the one blowing it. He's playing me today. He is putting out his tune. Do you hear it? Or is it just the word of Greg to you? Or is it God himself using me, speaking in your own hearing his words, that you may hear and believe, and so also be saved? But the world has it otherwise. And this is seen in the Old Testament. In Jeremiah 25, God condemns the people for not hearing. He says, "You've neither listened nor inclined your ears to hear, although the Lord sent persistently to you all his servants, the prophets, saying, 'Turn now everyone from his evil way and wrongdoings. Then I will do you no harm.' Yet you've not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to do you harm." When God speaks, his word does good to those who walk uprightly. But you know what? And I find this in my experience. When I'm preaching or speaking the word of Christ, some people just don't want to hear it. You speak it as clear as day to them. "No, I don't want to hear it. I can't hear you. I can't hear you." Remember that as a kid? People can hear the word of God and yet not hear it. That's why Jesus says, "Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear." Obviously, when he preached the parable of the sower, everybody heard the words audibly, but some of them stopped it before it got in. That's why the word of God is a seed. It is to be poured, if you will, like this. Let's say this is your ear. It's an opening just like your ear here. God takes his seeds to pour them into your ear. They're falling all over the place. Probably can't see them. He wants to put them in here so that they go down deep inside you, are held by your heart steadfastly, go into good soil, and then spring up and cause fruit. And we need to be careful today about our ears becoming dull and heavy of hearing. Because when we resist that word, it gets harder and harder to hear it. But the more we receive it, the more we're eager to hear, the more God pours in to us. This is why Jesus tells this parable. He says the seed is the word. He's explaining it. He says the ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts that they may not believe and be saved. Even just this week, I've shared the gospel a couple times with my bracelet to unbelievers. And it's amazing, they heard the words, they kind of understood it, but I could just see this look on their face. "That's an idle tale. I don't believe it. That's just mythology. That's not real." And it just didn't get in because it was stopping it. And what we see here, the devil does actually work and jumps in there to take it out quickly, snatch it before it can take root, which, if it takes root, would bring salvation. Another one, he says, is this. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. You experience this? You share the gospel, or at least maybe you've seen this. The person comes to faith. Oh, he's on fire for the Lord. He comes to church every week with all great joy, and then drifts away. And he's gone. And what happened to him? Persecution rose up, but there was no depth of root. This got in with joy, but not deep. It wasn't held there, and the person stopped his ears from hearing it again. And as for what fell among thorns, those who, when they hear, they are those who hear, but when they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. We need to be on guard against this temptation for us too. Because you're hearing the word of God today. I'm not accusing you here of anything, but I just want to warn you here. Hearing the word of God is not just hearing it, or even rejoicing at it, but also doing it. When you want to ask your question of whether you're actually hearing God rightly, just look at your life. Is there fruit springing up from this word? When the pastor preaches a sermon, do I actually do it? If I'm doing it, then I'm hearing him. If I'm not doing it, it's just not gotten in. Because James says in James chapter 1, 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If you want to know if this seed is really being heard by you, germinating in your heart, then look at your branches. Look at your extremities. Is my tongue bearing witness to Christ? Are my hands doing acts of mercy? Are my feet walking in good paths? Do I see good fruit out there? Then I'm hearing rightly. For Jesus says, and as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bring forth fruit with patience. So let's let this be a warning to us today of what happened in Ezekiel's day. Remember with him? Listen to this. And as for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes forth from the Lord. Ezekiel was a popular preacher. Everybody loved to come to his church, Sunday or Saturday, I should say. And he was very loved in that way. It's the word of the Lord. Verse 31, and they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with their lips they show much love, but their heart is set on their gain. And lo, you are to them like one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument, for they hear what you say, but they will not do it. When this comes, and come it will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Do you believe today that God speaks to you through me? I am simply a trumpet. God is playing me. He's speaking in your ears today. God himself, the creator, saying, believe on me. Believe on my word. Believe on my son Jesus. Take it to root. For how important is this? You mind if I show you another example here? And if it's not going to offend you, I'm going to take the light here. Here's you, okay? An opening is your ear. How much do you need to hear the word of God? Right now, that flame's been glowing for many days. Well, except for this morning service. I can't lie now. What happens if you fall into the temptation of saying, I'm going to stop my ear? You can tell me that, but not of that sin. I won't give up that sin. Or you say, I can hear God on the golf course, and I'm going to skip church for a couple of weeks. What happens is you are stopping your ears from hearing of the word. Is that flame still going? Yeah? Is it still looking good? Can you see it in there? Uh-oh, not already. Oh, it's still in there. It's still going a little bit. What happens is when you are not hearing the word, it starts getting smaller. Your faith grows dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. For Paul says, faith comes from what is heard. What is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. And eventually, if you don't hear the word long enough and you stop your ears, if you don't hear the word long enough and you stop your ears. Anybody got a good story? You'll be telling this one for a while, huh? Uh-oh, wait. My hand now doesn't feel any more heat, actually. I was feeling heat. Uh-oh, it's out. There's no more flame. And that's the warning God would have for us today, because he says also in Luke chapter 8, take heed then how you hear. For to him who has, will more be given. And from him who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. So open your ears. Be filling them daily with the word of God. And so much putting this word in your hands, in your reading and hearing it preached, that after a while you don't even need to have this with you all the time. It's here. And that way I can go through life seriously, in all honesty, hearing the word of God. I go out and I see a sunset or the stars above me at night. I hear the Holy Spirit say, Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens are telling the glory of the Lord, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. I fret and worry and anxious, and I hear him say to me, fret not yourself, it tends only to evil, Psalm 37. Sometimes I feel a great burden. The Lord says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. I'm broken, and he says to me, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. I can hear him actually speaking to me in my life when I go through these things. When you come up, I'm so slow, of progress in my faith, Lord. But I hear this, the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm the foremost of sinners, but I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience for an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. And Luther said, there's nothing more beautiful in the eyes of God than a soul that hears his word. And so I conclude with this. I want to ask you, are your ears open today? Do you believe that God can speak with you right now through me? So that it's no longer really me speaking to you, but it's God, your creator, your redeemer, saying these words to you. Hear them that way if you have ears to hear. And I'll put them in the first person, these scriptures. And you, who once were estranged and hostile, in mind doing evil deeds, I have now reconciled in my body of flesh by my death, in order to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before me. For I so loved the world that I gave my only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.